Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, Steve, amazing TED Talk by Tony Fadell.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, he talks about, he's a product designer, and he talks about habituation and one of the secrets to breaking out of habits that we formulate all the time, things we don't even take for granted because it would probably take too much of our memory to keep remembering.
We do.
Yeah, to remember, keep, you know, your hands on the steering wheel at a certain degree, the things that we just form as habits so that it frees up our mind to think about more complex things. However, it's so important that we kind of pull ourselves back from the everyday norm and take notice of life. And as a product designer, that's one of the things that they do when they're, you know, developing products and packaging. How do we take the norm out and add something special to the consumer? Well, these principles don't only apply to products and design, but they apply to life. I want you to watch Mr. Fadell as he just shares with us this amazing wisdom and what we can extract for our own personal lives. Watch this.
In the great 1980s movie, The Blues Brothers, there's a scene where John Belushi goes to visit Dan Aykroyd in his apartment in Chicago for the very first time. It's a cramped, tiny space, and it's just 3 feet away from the train tracks. As John sits on Dan's bed, a train goes rushing by, rattling everything in the room. John asks, "How often does that train go by?" Dan replies, "So often, you won't even notice it." And then something falls off the wall. We all know what he's talking about. As human beings, we get used to everyday things really fast. As a product designer, it's my job to see those everyday things, to feel them, and try to improve upon them. For example, see this piece of fruit? See this little sticker? That sticker wasn't there when I was a kid. But somewhere as the years passed, someone had the bright idea to put that sticker on the fruit. Why? So it could be easier for us to check out at the grocery counter. Well, that's great. We can get in and out of the store quickly. But now there's a new problem. When we get home and we're hungry and we see this ripe, juicy piece of fruit on the counter, we just want to pick it up and eat it. Except now, we have to look for this little sticker and dig at it with our nails, damaging the flesh. That rolling up that sticker, you know what I mean, and then trying to flick it off your fingers, right? It's not fun, not at all. But something interesting happened. See, the first time you did it, you probably felt those feelings. You just wanted to eat the piece of fruit, but it was, you felt upset. You just wanted to dive in. By the 10th time, you started to become less upset. And you started to just do the peeling the label off. By the 100th time, at least for me, I became numb to it. I simply picked up the piece of fruit, dug at it with my nails, tried to flick it off, and then wonder, was there another sticker? So why is that? Why do we get used to everyday things? Well, as human beings, we have limited brain power. And so our brains encode the everyday things we do into habits so we can free up space to learn new things. It's a process called habituation, and it's one of the most basic ways as humans we learn. Now, habituation isn't always bad. Remember learning to drive? I sure do. Your hands clenched at 10 and 2 on the wheel, looking at every single object out there, the cars, the lights, the pedestrians, is a nerve-wracking experience. So much so that I couldn't even talk to anyone else in the car, and I couldn't even listen to music. But then something interesting happened. As the weeks went by, driving became easier and easier. You habituated it. It started to become fun and second nature. And then you could talk to your friends again and listen to music. So there's a good reason why our brains habituate things. If we didn't, we'd notice every little detail all the time. It would be exhausting, and we'd have no time to learn about new things. But sometimes habituation isn't good. If it stops us from noticing the problems that are around us, well, that's bad. And if it stops us from noticing and fixing those problems, well, then that's really bad. Comedians know all about this. Jerry Seinfeld's entire career was built on noticing those little details, those idiotic things we do every day that we don't even remember. He tells us about the time he visited his friends and he just wanted to take a comfortable shower. He'd reach out and grab the handle and turn it slightly one way, and it was 100 degrees too hot. And then he'd turn it the other way, and it was 100 degrees too cold. He just wanted a comfortable shower. Now, we've all been there. We just don't remember it. But Jerry did, and that's a comedian's job. But designers, innovators, and entrepreneurs, it's our job to not just notice those things, but to go one step further and try to fix them. See this? This person, this is Mary Anderson. In 1902 in New York City, she was visiting. It was a cold, wet, snowy day, and she was warm inside a streetcar. As she was going to her destination, she noticed the driver opening the window to clean off the excess snow so he could drive safely. When he opened the window, though, he let all this cold, wet air inside, making all the passengers miserable. Now, probably most of those passengers just thought, ah, it's a fact of life. He's got to open the window to clean it. That's just how it is. But Mary didn't. Mary thought, what if the driver could actually clean the windshield from the inside so that he could stay safe and drive and the passengers could actually stay warm? So she picked out her sketchbook right then and there and began drawing what would become the world's first windshield wiper. Now, as a product designer, I try to learn from people like Mary, to try to see the world the way it really is, not the way we think it is. Why? Because it's easy to solve a problem that almost everyone sees, but it's hard to solve a problem that almost no one sees. Now, some people think you're born with this ability, or you're not, as if Mary Anderson was hardwired at birth to see the world more clearly. That wasn't the case for me. I had to work at it. During my years at Apple, Steve Jobs challenged us to come into work every day, to see our products through the eyes of the customer, the new customer, the one that has fears and possible frustrations and hopeful exhilaration that their new technology product could work straight away for them. He called it staying beginners and wanted to make sure that we focused on those tiny little details to make them faster, easier, and seamless for the new customers. So I remember this clearly in the very earliest days of the iPod. See, back in the 90s, being a gadget freak like I am, I would rush out to the store for the very, very latest gadget. I'd take all the time to get to the store, I'd check out, I'd come back home, I'd start to unbox it. And then there was another little sticker, the one that said, charge before use. What? I can't believe it. I just spent all this time buying this product and now I have to charge before use? I have to wait what felt like an eternity to use that coveted new toy? It was crazy. But you know what? Almost every product back then did that. When it had batteries in it, you had to charge it before you used it. Well, Steve noticed that, and he said, we're not going to let that happen to our product. So what did we do? Typically, when you have a product that has a hard drive in it, you run it for about 30 minutes in the factory to make sure that hard drive is going to be working years later for the customer after they pull it out of the box. What did we do instead? We ran that product for over 2 hours. Why? Well, first off, we could make a higher quality product, be easy to test, and make sure it was great for the customer. But most importantly, the battery came fully charged right out of the box, ready to use, so that customer could just, with all that exhilaration, could just start using the product. It was great, and it worked. People liked it. Now, today, almost every product that you get that's battery-powered comes out of the box fully charged, even if it doesn't have a hard drive. But back then, we noticed that detail, and we fixed it. And now everyone else does that as well. No more charge before use. So why am I telling you this? Well, it's seeing the invisible problem, not just the obvious problem, that's important. Not just for product design, but for everything we do. You see, there are invisible problems all around us, ones we can solve. But first, we need to see them, to feel them. So I'm hesitant to give you any tips about neuroscience or psychology. There's far too many experienced people in the TED community who will know much more about that than I ever will. But let me leave you with a few tips that I do, that we all can do, to fight habituation. My first tip is to look broader. You see, when you're tackling a problem, sometimes there are a lot of steps that lead up to that problem, and sometimes a lot of steps after it. If you can take a step back and look broader, maybe you can change some of those boxes before the problem. Maybe you can combine them. Maybe you can remove them altogether to make that better. Take thermostats, for instance. In the 1900s, when they first came out, they were really simple to use. You could turn them up or turn them down. People understood them. But in the 1970s, the energy crisis struck, and customers started thinking about how to save energy. So what happened? Thermostat designers decided to add a new step. Instead of just turning up and down, you now had to program it so you could tell it the temperature you wanted at a certain time. Now, that seemed great. Every thermostat had started adding that feature. But it turned out that no one saved any energy. Now, why is that? Well, people couldn't predict the future. They just didn't know how their weeks would change season to season, year to year. So no one was saving energy. And what happened? Thermostat designers went back to the drawing board, and they focused on that programming step. They made better UIs. They made better documentation. But still, years later, people were not saving any energy because they just couldn't predict the future. So what did we do? We put a machine learning algorithm in instead of the programming that would simply watch when you turned it up and down, when you liked a certain temperature when you got up or when you went away. And you know what? It worked. People are saving energy without any programming. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you take a step back and look at all the boxes, maybe there's a way to remove one or combine them so you can make that process much simpler. So that's my first tip, look broader. For my second tip, it's to look closer. One of my greatest teachers was my grandfather. He taught me all about the world. He taught me how things were built and how they were repaired, the tools and techniques necessary to make a successful project. I remember one story he told me about screws and about how you need to have the right screw for the right job. There were many different screws, wood screws, metal screws, anchors, concrete screws. The list went on and on. Our job is to make products that are easy to install for all of our customers themselves without professionals. So what did we do? I remembered that story that my grandfather told me. And so we thought, how many different screws could we put in the box? Was it going to be 2, 3, 4, 5? Because there's so many different wall types. So we thought about it, we optimized it, and we came up with three different screws to put in the box. We thought that was going to solve the problem, but it turned out it didn't. So we shipped the product, and people weren't having a great experience. So what did we do? We went back to the drawing board just instantly after we figured out we didn't get it right. And we designed a special screw, a custom screw, much to the chagrin of our investors. They were like, why are you spending so much time on a little screw? Get out there and sell more. And we said, we will sell more if we get this right. And it turned out we did. With that custom little screw, there was just one screw in the box. It was easy to mount and put on the wall. So if we focus on those tiny details, the ones we might or that we may not see, and we look at them and we say, are those important, or is that the way we've always done it? Maybe there's a way to get rid of those. So my last piece of advice is to think younger. Every day I'm confronted with interesting questions from my three young kids. They come up with questions like, why can't cars fly around traffic? Or why don't my shoelaces have Velcro instead? Sometimes those questions are smart. My son came to me the other day and I asked him, hey, go run out to the mailbox and check it. He looked at me, puzzled, and said, why doesn't the mailbox just check itself and tell us when it has mail? I was like, that's a pretty good question. So they can ask tons of questions. And sometimes we find out we just don't have the right answers. We say, son, that's just the way the world works. So the more we're exposed to something, the more we get used to it. But kids haven't been around long enough to get used to those things. And so when they run into problems, they immediately try to solve them. And sometimes they find a better way. And that way really is better. So my advice, and that we take to heart, is to have young people on your team, or people with young minds. Because if you have those young minds, they cause everyone in the room to think younger. Picasso once said, every child is an artist. The problem is when he or she grows up, is how to remain an artist. We all saw the world more clearly when we saw it for the first time, before a lifetime of habits got in the way. Our challenge is to get back to there, to feel that frustration, to see those little details, to look broader, look closer, and to think younger, so we can stay beginners. It's not easy. It requires us pushing back against one of the most basic ways we make sense of the world. But if we do, we can do some pretty amazing things. For me, hopefully that's better product design. For you, that could mean something else, something powerful. Our challenge is to wake up each day and say, how can I experience the world better? And if we do, maybe, just maybe, we can get rid of these dumb little stickers. Thank you very much.
Amazing.
That is powerful.
Is that powerful?
Oh, yeah.
How many times do we go through life doing the everyday norm? You know, you can drive through town and arrive at a destination and not know where you were the last 10 minutes. Has that ever happened to you? Your mind was elsewhere as your body was just following the steps, stopping at the light, making the left turn, making the right turn, and all of a sudden you're at Walmart or where it is that you were going.
Oh, yeah.
Because we developed this habit, and he calls it habituation, and the definition is the diminishing of psychological or emotional response to a frequently repeated stimulus. And how important is that? You know, you're talking about designers, innovators, entrepreneurs, but man, being a human being, living life, what happens when we fail to take notice? When we fail to stop and smell the roses? Things.
Oh, yeah. You know that we've talked about that before in regards to you're doing things so fast, you're just going through your daily motion, your daily routine, and you totally miss sight of the people that God has placed right next to you, and you totally disregard them, and it's just like you're in that task mode. And one of the things that I love how he's talking about is just in regards to, like, you think about a team, everything you do, from family to the workplace to sports, everything. It's just like, place people around you that aren't like you.
Oh, absolutely.
And who think differently. And I love that how he says, have children, who is just like, all children are artists.
Yeah.
And it's just like the imagination of how they see things. Because so often you can see, like, sometimes adults will respond to a child and say, it's just, whatever. And it's just like, how a child sees that, it's imagination.
Well, this is what happens. The older we get, we have a tendency to defend what we know instead of wanting to grow. And the idea is that we should always be wanting to grow. We should be life learners. We should be always wanting to improve, to develop, and to have some sort of growth and hopefully learn new things. I'm scared of the person who's learned everything already, because there's multiple ways to do things and get things done, some more efficiently, you know, some, you know, not as efficient. But I love what he says about even the example he gives with Steve Jobs. If you've ever owned an Apple product, and that's, I guess, one of the things why I think Apple's one of the largest company today. In fact, they're worth more than Russia's complete New York's, their complete stock exchange. But if you're reason why I think many people like Apple products is because of the enormous detail they give to their products. And they just don't throw something in a box. Mm-hmm. I mean, they actually think purposefully, and they really think with the end in mind. They think about you, the customer. This is not a commercial, but when you think about when you open an Apple box, whether it be an iPhone or an iPod, it's packaged a certain way. The instructions are folded in a certain way.
They don't have little zip ties. They got to undo everything.
Just recently, I had the opportunity to look at an Apple Watch that someone just purchased, and to see how this watch was packaged and enclosed. I mean, it was amazing. The box itself, the container, was a work of art. And what does that do? That gives that person who bought that product a sense of saying, wow, this is actually worth something. This was a wonderful experience just opening the box. If that was great, then the product's going to be even more amazing. And so these are things that we can notice. You know, stop looking at the everyday situations. You know, think about it. On the average day, people are going from event to event, meeting to meeting, task to task. And at the end of the night, they crash and go, I think I did something today. I don't know exactly what happened, you know, but I think I did something. I think I spoke to someone, and I think I accomplished something. And we need to slow down, because there's nothing more tragic than to have missed opportunities or to survey your life 10, 15 years later and realize, man, what happened? What you know, all this time went by. So he talks about three things, you know, looking broader, which I call zoom out, you know, looking closer, zoom in, and to think younger. But why is this important? Listen, God's put us on the face of this earth so that we can be change agents, so that we can bring the good news. What would happen if we start taking, before we want to change the world, start taking inventory of our own lives and start to evaluate, how did we show up today? What would happen? The book of Proverbs says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. What would happen if we start to reflect and start noticing the different things that are occurring in our life? How did I show up to work today? And how did I treat others? And what was my communication like? And to start evaluating the different little things that we could say, you know what? I wasn't my best there. If I could take that day back, if I could take that meeting, what would I say differently? What would I do differently so that I can make an impact, so that a positive impact? Because we're going to make an impact.
Oh, yeah.
The question is, what type of impact are you going to have? And that we got to stay fresh. We got to stay young. We have to, you know, they often encourage people to take different routes to work. You know, get lost a little bit. Just hop in the car and go, so that you can break the monotony of doing the same thing every day. And that's where the freshness of life begins, is where we begin to start looking at the details. I mean, think about God as the most amazing product designer. I mean, you're not a product, you know, but think about it. You're a human being. Look at all the amazing organs that are in your body, your brain, your lungs, your kidneys, you know, your nervous system. God created you wonderfully. In fact, you know, King David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows full well. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. You know, God took special care and detail in creating you. It's because he loves you. He has a plan for you. What would happen if we embrace life that way, Steve? I mean, this encourages me, because I have a lot to take inventory about and to look at my own life. I bet you do too. But we can't fix the world without until we really begin to start fixing the world within. But if we all take notice, hey, things can change. Well, listen, we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you and ask you, please, to continue to pray for us. But let's go to prayer. Father, we just thank you once again for your mercies and your grace that are new every morning. Lord, we thank you that Christians are standing up in the Middle East and fighting against ISIS. We thank you for those who've joined forces, Lord, to help our brothers and our sisters. And I thank you for helping us, Lord, to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to break from the pattern of habits, Lord, that cause us to fail to recognize all the wonderful details in life and how we can begin to bring change into a world by first dealing with the things in our own lives. We love you and honor you today. We thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.